With us for our text this morning, you'll find it in Genesis 24. Genesis 24. I'm going to begin by reading the text, but then I want to go back and I hate to take a lot of time in reading, but this is a passage that I think would be time well spent to refresh our minds as to just what is being led up to here. But I want to notice in verse 27, Genesis 24, verse 27, this Abraham has sent out his servant to find a wife for Isaac, the promised child. This servant is faithful. And we'll get to that in a moment, but he's gone along the way and he's bowed and he's praying. Now I'll tell you something, that endears you, don't it, when you find somebody's praying. All right, verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my father, my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way. Now, he was on the way, but he was in it. Let's read chapter 24. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Pause right there. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now, I certainly believe that the Lord had blessed Abraham in the all things that's in Romans chapter 8. You know, the foreknowledge, the predestination, the calling, the justification, and the glorification, all those things. What shall we say to these things? Paul went on to say. I believe the Lord blessed him in those things. But I also, from what you read, I also believe that he's also blessed him in those all things that's contained in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. I'm sorry, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, Matthew said, didn't he? And all these, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I said, I misquoted the first time, but I really didn't. If you go grab what Luke said about it, in Luke 12:31, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I make this point because I've heard people try to strain and differentiate, and I haven't talked to Brother Chris about this, so I don't know about that, but I've heard people try to strain and just differentiate between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But if you compare Matthew 6:33 to Luke 12:31, it's the same verse. But Matthew is inspired to say heaven, and Luke is inspired to say kingdom of God. So I submit to you, there's either an error in the scripture. You won't have that, will you? Or it's the same kingdom. All things. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things because he was seeking the kingdom of God, wasn't he? Now, not in the same terms, but he was serving the Lord. And in principle, he was doing the same thing we do today, seeking the kingdom of God. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. I understand that was a custom in that part of the world. When there was a serious oath, that's the way they went about it. And so only for the most serious matters would they use that. But that was their custom in that part of the world in that day. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. I have to pause right there. Old Elder Leon Wiggins used to say, I wonder why the Lord sent 10 camels to get one woman. He said, I used to wonder that, but then I got married. Now that's a little bit lighthearted, but I honestly believe that it was to testify of the riches of Abraham, this godly man, but God had blessed him, okay? For all the goods, now he took the camels and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, this man's about to pray. Listen to this prayer carefully. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Listen to the desire here. He's not praying for himself so much as he's praying that the Lord would be kind to his master. His master had been kind to him. And he was praying to the God of Abraham, the God of heaven and earth. So he says, Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass. Tuck that away, by the way. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He said, Let it come to pass. Well, the next verse says, and it came to pass. The Lord's merciful here, isn't he? And it came to pass. Before he had done speaking. I love that, don't you? The Lord doesn't wait for us. I'm thankful that there have been many prayers that have been answered. But I'm also thankful to know that there's been times when God has answered prayers, but I realized that he was at work in this matter long before I had sense enough to know how to pray for it. God is so good. He blesses us so much. And here's one where Abraham has been trusting God and following God and been faithful to God. And this servant now, he also has faith within him to pray unto God. It appears that he does. He's praying a sincere prayer. Praying a good prayer, isn't he? He's asking for the Lord to go before him and to deliver in this matter. And before he had done speaking, the Lord's already answering. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a great God. He doesn't depend upon your words when you make your requests. He knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. Yes. But he knows before that. Right. He knows the need, and he is able to supply it. All right? Now, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. My, oh my. With her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when he had done, when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." Wow. That's an answer. That's a powerful answer. There was 10 camels. You got any idea how much a camel drinks? She was willing to do a lot here. But you know, that was a very emphatic answer to a prayer. I mean, who can doubt this? We could stand here today with our chest out. So I wouldn't doubt that. And I'm not going to say that this servant doubted, but let's keep reading. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, that is to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. How much does the Lord have to show us? You know, he's kind of like Gideon here, isn't he? Well, when the Lord showed him this, then he said, "Well, how about this? And how about this?" The Lord gave an emphatic answer. But I'll tell you, we're no different.
That's right.
And I suspect there's been times when the Lord has answered in a mighty way, and we're just standing there wondering, could this really be? But it was. Because God is that good.
That's right.
And he supplied that need. On that occasion, it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets on for her hands and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. A very appropriate response. I would encourage each of us to take heed. When the Lord answers your prayers, be sure to thank him.
Amen.
And do it quickly. Be mindful of it. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my father, master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." As we said before, this servant was not only on his way to do his master's will, he was in the way. There's a difference. Are we in the way this morning? In the way of the Lord? Are we seeking to do his will above our own? Are we following him? Are we praying to him and asking for him to go before us and prepare our way? We see on a number of occasions, especially the life of Abraham, God did that. He went before him. He prepared the way. He's able to do that for us. Are we seeking his will to do what he would have us to do. This man had served his master faithfully, and he was doing the will of God. And it's evident that he's seeking to do God's will. Because not only is he interested in doing his master's, earthly master's will, he's praying to God for the help that he needs. Now, just like Moses, Abraham, David, Daniel, those brethren in the scriptures set their heart to be faithful to God. And so here's one, this servant of Abraham, here's one. You might say he's working out his own salvation. Let's go to the New Testament and get an illustration of this. Paul said, "Wherefore, as you've obeyed in my, not only as you've obeyed in my presence, but now much more in my absence," Philippians 2:12, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you." Isn't that what was happening here? "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." To will and to do. He works in us to will and to do, but he doesn't do it for us. That requires obedience, doesn't it? That requires some thought, some faithfulness. That requires some commitment to do what God is working in us. God's Spirit is in all of his children that are born of his Spirit. But would you say that they're all doing his will? And so this exhortation is valid today. We need to be exhorted to righteousness. We need to be exhorted to walk in that way which the Spirit would lead us, which is consistent with this word. So let's notice a pathway of working out this salvation. Very quickly here. I don't take all the time here, but let's notice a pathway. We walk by faith, right? I mean, this servant was going out to do the will of God. He was being obedient to his master, and he was seeking the will of the Lord's help in this matter. All right, so we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Faith worketh by love, Paul said to the Galatian brother, Galatians 5:6. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. That worketh, that word means the energy of it. So the energy of our faith is love. And then Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's obedience, right? So we got walk, faith, love, obedience. Keeping. And I want you to notice those two in the middle. Faith and love. Faith worketh by love. Well, you think maybe if the love is greater, there's more energy to work the faith? And if the love has been neglected and weak, do you think that's going to affect the energy of the faith? Sounds like to me, if we want this process to be healthy, walking, faith, love, and obedience, sounds like the key to this thing is love. Loving God. He can't love us any more than he does. But you can love him more than you do. That's why in the New Testament we're exhorted so much to love the Lord. That's why the first and great commandment is, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." And the second's like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we love one another, we fulfill the law. So this man, in New Testament terms, was working out what God is working in him. How about us? That's a good example to follow, isn't it? Us listening to that Spirit. Now we're talking about, if we're talking about working out your salvation, we're talking about somebody who has the Spirit in them, who's born of the Spirit. They're the only ones who can follow this pathway. But this man was in the way of God, the way his master had instructed him, the way to do the will of his master. Now you might say, well, that was New Testament that you grabbed. This was Old Testament lesson. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Same Spirit, same God. He doesn't change. Same lesson. Okay, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. By the way, let me turn to that real quickly here. Ecclesiastes 12. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Sounds like to me God had judged this work. He found it to be faithful. And he was blessed. He was blessed. And so the servant said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, that servant was just demonstrating what he'd been doing all along, being faithful to God. And so he proved the scriptures. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And you remember the rest of that? And he shall direct thy paths. The servant was blessed. And he was going to get a wife for Isaac. And he was not, because Isaac was not to marry the daughters of Canaan. Now God had called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees into a land that he would show him. But now when it comes time for a bride, for Isaac, he's going to go back to his family. Now that's a natural lesson, but it has a spiritual significance to us today, doesn't it? You know, our marriages should be to those of the household of God. We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know that it's worked out a lot of times. There's been people married folks that weren't part of the church. But here's what I say about that. If we're seeking to do God's will, if we've taken his yoke upon us and are learning of him, we ought to be at least comfortable with the fact that that other person is going to pull in that yoke in the same direction. That's what it teaches. So, that's a good lesson for us today, isn't it? We're going to be yoked. Let's be yoked with one that's going to pull in the same direction. Now, all of this was a picture, glorious picture, of Christ and his bride. But bless your hearts, we're to take his yoke upon us and learn of him and be like him. If any man will come after me, he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I being in the way, the servant said, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. You know, there's no better place on this earth to be than in the house of the Master's brethren, the church of the living God. God will help us. God will go before us and prepare a way. Our job, if you will, is to seek His face and His counsel for whatever we seek to do in this life, and to be found in the way. Because if we're in the way, God will bless us. May God bless you. I hope Brother Chris is in the ways. He's come to us this morning, and I pray the Lord will bless him mightily to preach the gospel. Come here, Brother Chris.